When it comes to the secret of spiritual life, a lot of people claim to have the answer. A lot of people claim to have the definition of what that is. And there's a lot of spiritual frauds out there. They claim to have the key to what it means to be content in Christ. Yet because of that, in stark contrast to what it tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul gives us the secret of contentment. In some of your versions in Philippians 4 and verse 12, Paul writes, I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In any circumstance I have learned, Paul says, the secret. So the question tonight is, what is the secret of contentment that Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 4? Here Paul is speaking of a genuine and important secret for us as Christians. One has called this the only secret that we need to know. It'd be nice if that were the case, right? So what is the secret of contentment for us as Christians? So I invite you tonight to turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 as we look at verses 10 through 14 specifically tonight. And as we're going to look at a few specific things, to express his appreciation, Paul talks about a gift that was sent to him by Epaphroditus. And as he's expressing this, he also tells those individuals of what it means to truly be content based upon what they had done for them and also what he had gone through in his life as a Christian. And in doing this, Paul is going to include some profound moments of spiritual and practical insight, including the secret of contentment. So what does it mean to truly be content? I'm sure all of us have different definitions. If we're teenagers, our definitions are probably going to vary from us if we're in our 20s or even in our 30s. But as we get a little bit older, things change, right? Things that once seemed important to us, things that made us content, are no longer keeping us content. And as we begin to get a little bit older, perhaps physical things in life don't matter to us once as they used to. But you see, this isn't really the type of contentment that Paul is talking about tonight. Paul said, I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But what is the secret concerning the contentment that he's learned specifically? Well, one of the first things we notice is a satisfying situation. Notice with me Philippians 4 and verse 10, Paul writes, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. What caused Paul to rejoice greatly? It was the Philippians. Paul always rejoiced in the fact of what the Philippians had done for him, not only physically, but also spiritually in helping him grow. As a matter of fact, you can jump back to Philippians 4 and verse 4 where it says, rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. Paul understood that we as Christians have every reason to rejoice, do we not? Based on what God has done for us at the cross of Calvary, we know that we rejoice in the fact that we have eternal life through Jesus because of the sacrifice. And what Paul is expressing here, that he's rejoiced always for the fact of what the Philippians meant to him. Many times, the book of Philippians is referred to as the book of joy. Paul was happy that he could write to brethren because many times as we look through his writings in the New Testament, he's rebuking brethren for the way that they're living. But here Paul is actually happy and he's satisfied in the fact of what they had done for him. And it wasn't that he was in respect of needing anything. He was happy for what they had done. He was satisfied with what they had given him. The only thing was he couldn't reach them at this particular time. So Paul wanted them to truly know how happy he was for everything that they had done to him at this point. But the phrase, your thought for me, or care in the King James, or concern in the ESV, is the imperfect tense in the Greek, indicating a continuous action in the past. So you see, they had always cared for Paul. They were always looking out for Paul, and they were always concerned for him. Paul had not been out of their thoughts. He had simply been out of their reach. So Paul was extremely grateful, and he was rejoicing in all those things they had done for him up to this point. And we can't be sure why the Philippians lacked opportunity to help Paul, but whatever it was a circumstance that was absolutely beyond their control. But they finally overcame the problem, whatever this problem was, and their concern for Paul revived, as it's coming from the Greek word here, meaning to again flourish and to blossom. So they're happy. They're joyful. Paul is happy and joyful for everything they had done. So he's satisfied at this particular moment. But the gift that they had given, and we don't know exactly what the gift is, monetarily more than likely, and maybe it was even encouragement along the way when he couldn't be with him, but their concern was kind of like a barren tree in the winter that revives in the spring. So they're expressing this great joy, and Paul is satisfied with this, and their concern appeared dead, but Paul says it's not. I'm grateful that you have a care for me. I'm grateful that you have a concern for my well-being. But Paul says, I'm satisfied at this point for everything that you've done for me. And Paul didn't have any reason of which to complain or anything that he was really lacking, really. But so we see a satisfying situation that brings us then to a startling statement. Notice Philippians 4, verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. Paul says, because I've learned that whatever state I am, to be content. Notice verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Paul said, because of the situation that I'm in, I've learned to be content with that. But we're going to understand better what the secret of that contentment was. How was it that in this situation, many times with what Paul had gone through in his life, whether it was beatings or being put in prison or being shipwrecked or the thorn in his side, as we read in 2 Corinthians, whatever the case was, Paul said, I have a secret and I've learned how to deal with it based upon what it means to be a Christian. Many times we get the definition of what it truly means to be content confused with how we live our lives as Christians. Because it's never based on monetary gain. It's never based on physical things in life, though those things are nice. But what it truly means to be content in what Paul's talking about here is how we're handling our situations in life. Paul is having just said that he rejoiced in the gift of the Philippians, that you might expect him to say, after all, I really needed what you sent. But that's not what Paul says. There's little doubt that he needed help, but he spoke of this affliction in verse 14. And we don't know what that affliction is. Again, it could be the thorn in his side in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he's speaking of. That God had given to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Now, go on about your business. But whatever that affliction was, he wasn't in need of anything, but he wanted his readers to know that his rejoicing was not so much for the gift as it was for the concern that was expressed on his behalf. He was grateful that they paid attention to him. It's kind of like when you get a gift from your child when they're young. Those gifts are special. We might not know what it is, but those gifts are special because of who that gift came from. You know, those gifts we hold on to because they're precious to us. Because your child was thinking about you in a moment, whatever that moment might be, that you were important to them. Paul understood that he was important to the church at Philippi because they were thinking of him in his time of need and his time of hour. They expressed this through their gift and giving. And Paul said, I don't need anything else. But the fact that you thought about me, the fact that you were concerned and that you had a care for my well-being, Paul says, that means the world to me. Many times we as Christians need to truly understand what encouragement is. And sometimes we forget to do that. And we need to do more of it. Because, brethren, I'm here to tell you a pat on the back and encouragement goes a long way. When's the last time you said thank you to our elders for the job and the task they have at hand? See, a little bit of encouragement plants a seed, and believe me, they'll go weeks if you just tell them thank you. When's the last time you said thank you to our deacons for the work they do behind the scenes that many times goes unnoticed, but we enjoy all the spoils of all the things they've done for us? You see, many times we simply pass them by, but do we truly say thank you? I appreciate what you did. You don't have to give them anything. They're not looking for anything of monetary value or physically speaking. They simply just want you to say thank you. Why? Because you appreciate it. You see, encouragement is a great thing for us as Christians. Paul is encouraging the Philippians because they've encouraged him. Thank you, brethren, for thinking about me. Paul now makes a declaration of this startling statement. He says, I've learned that whatever state or whatever circumstance, the ESV reads, that I've learned to be content. Well, these circumstances that Paul considered are basically, he's talking about the ups and downs of life. How has he learned then to be content with the ups and downs of life? How do we truly grasp this concept to be content with what we're going through at that particular moment, whether it's good or whether it's bad? Now here's the problem we have with the ups and downs of life. When we're down, the danger is despair. When we're up, the danger is pride, right? So we've got to be truly careful when it comes to the idea of being content here. Paul didn't let the downs degrade him, and he didn't let the ups exalt him. He said, I've learned whatever situation I'm dealing with in life to be content with what I have to handle. That's where the secret lies, Paul says, but how am I going to handle it? What is the secret that Paul is using here to be content? Contentment comes from learning in life. We're not just born with being content. We have to learn how to truly be content. Exactly what did Paul mean when he spoke of being content? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, be content with such things that you have. So, when we look at the Greek word here to truly understand contentment, we need to understand that the content is from the compound word which combines archaeo and the word self. So it means to be self-sufficient. So for me to be content in life with the ups and downs and the things I have to handle, I've got to be self-sufficient in how I'm going to deal with those things. Well, how do I do that? Paul, you got to help me out here. You said you've learned the secret, so what's the secret for me concerning this startling statement that you said when you told me from the onset that I've got a secret and I've learned what that secret is? Well, that comes from a strengthening statement. Notice then verses 12 and 13. Paul says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed to both be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But here's the secret. Here's what Paul has learned concerning the ups and downs of life, of what it means to be content, and how he learned to be content with what he's dealt with. In verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the secret, brethren. If I've got the Lord on my side in how I'm walking in life and what I'm dealing with, whether it's highs or lows, spiritually or physically speaking, my contentment comes with the fact that the Lord is always with me. No matter what ditch I might be walking through or valley I might be dealing with or the highs of life that I might be able to enjoy, if I've got the Lord, brethren, guess what? I've got everything. And because I have the Lord, then I can handle anything that comes after. You think about what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not then with him freely give us all things? You see, if we've got God on our side, we think about what the psalmist writes in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, can I not be content in life with the things that I have to handle based upon the fact that God is always there by my side? But what begins to happen in life is we become self-centered and self-focused and we get tunnel vision. And we forget to look outwardly. What we have to understand with contentment is we must look inwardly to be self-sufficient to understand that God is walking with us. Strengthening comes from that compound Greek word which means dynamite. That is, I can say, I can continue to have all the strength in all things through Him who constantly gives me power. Where do I gain my spiritual strength from? Do I get it from the Lord or do I get it from myself? I can do all things must be considered in the light of its context, though. I can't leap tall buildings. That's not what that's talking about. I'm not going to have some superhuman power. But in good and bad situations, the source is God. And if I understand that, then Paul's secret, he says, is Christ. Paul says, I've got a secret to have handled everything that I've been through. Paul said, I've learned no matter what I've gone through in life to be content with my situation. Paul said, it doesn't matter how bad you beat me down, put me in prison, I'll write a book. Stick me on a ship, I'll try and convert somebody. But if you kill me, Paul says, I've gained everything. You see, Paul said, no matter what I've gone through in this life, I've been content with my situation based upon what God has given me because who is with me? Paul says, Christ has been with me every step of the way. You think about what he wrote to those gullible Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Paul said, that's my strength, brethren. That's who walks with me daily by my side. That's where I've learned to be content in life. But are we truly content, though, as Christians? Or do sometimes we begin to whine and say, why me? Why me, Lord? I mean, I'm doing all these things you're asking me to do. I've been a good Christian, so why am I going through all these difficult situations in life? Why is it every time the sky is always darkened for me and not anybody else? Lord, why has all of this befallen me? I can remember a gospel preacher friend of mine was telling me about a lady in the congregation that he was preaching for at the current time. And she had stage 4 cancer. The doctor said she simply had a matter of months to live, and she ended up going almost 13 months before she passed away. And every month that she lived, Keith would take her, him and his wife would take her out for a steak dinner. But Keith said about month 7 or month 8, she was beginning to get more weak and she was beginning to struggle, but she still looked forward to these dinners, you see, because she was a widow. But Keith finally asked her one day, he said, can I ask you a question? Have you ever asked, why me? He said, you've suffered a great deal. You've been faithful. You've served the Lord all these years. Have you ever simply just asked the question, why me? He said it was the answer that she gave that told me of what Paul is talking about here in Philippians 4 and verse 13. You see, it wasn't the fact of the cancer that she had. When he said, have you ever asked why me? She said, why not me? She said, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I can face the trials of life and learn how to be content with them. I want to give you one more particular instance, and then the lesson is yours. Back in 2012, I received a phone call one day from a gentleman of whom I did not know, and I had met his wife one time. He called me and said, can you come to Birmingham because my wife has stage 4 skin cancer, and they're literally telling her that she only has a matter of weeks. I said, I would be absolutely honored to do that. He said, can you come talk to us? So I went and talked with them, and I sat down on their bed, on her bed with her, and her husband was on the other side, and we began to talk. And it's what she said that impressed me, that always made me consider the strength we can gain as God's children in Christ, because we don't look at death as defeat. But she said, I'm not worried about me because I have Jesus. I'm worried about Him because He doesn't. In the face of death and adversity, this lady was more concerned with her husband than she was with herself because she understood of what it meant to be content in that situation. Brethren, there's nothing we can't do or conquer in this life if we have Jesus on our side, but it's simply learning to be content with what we have to deal with, that we truly understand how Jesus is walking with us. You see, we don't have to ask why us because we have Jesus. Tonight, I want you to have Jesus, and I want you to be content with what He's done for you. You see, life in this world is not about gaining riches or glory. It's about gaining eternity on what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Tonight, that gift of eternity can be yours, but you've got to be content with what Christ has done. You've got to give up the way that you used to live to put on Christ to live His way and be content with that life. And I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy from this point, because it's not. But what I'm telling you this is if we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Tonight, put on Christ in baptism. I encourage you to do that. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by listening to God's Word. And if you've been convicted in your heart tonight to respond to the gospel, I encourage you to do that before it's everlasting too late. Because as the Bible says, life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, James 4:14. It's that short, that quick. So tonight, take the opportunity, as you have the advantage tonight to do such, and put them on in baptism, first repenting of your sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and having your sins washed away, Mark 16 and verse 16. And if you're here tonight, the Bible tells us that if we'll repent of our sins, God is willing and just to forgive us of those sins. If you have anything amiss in your life tonight that you need to fix, maybe it's the fact that you're not content with where you are spiritually speaking, let us pray with you tonight. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. But all of us need to learn more how to be content with what God has given us. Truly, to be a child of God is to be content with what we have rather than what we don't. Remember again what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you ready to gain that reward tonight? If so, please come as together we stand and as we sing.